Okay. Lord, thank you again for allowing us this venue to talk to my brothers and sisters and pray with them and just talk about you, Lord. It's just awesome. This venue that you've given us, we could talk to people all the way over in Africa, up into Canada, even over into Pennsylvania, and oh my goodness, Texas. My gracious, it's just about anywhere, Lord. And we thank you for these foreign countries. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for anointing us all tonight to spend time with you and talk about you and pray and knowing and believing that when we pray that our prayers are answered. I thank you for that, Father, because we have, you've given us all authority. You've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. And Father, we know that when we pray, the enemy shudders because he knows he's in trouble. And Lord, we just thank you for being with us, guiding us, directing us tonight to do whatever it is that you'd have us to do, Holy Spirit. And we praise you, Father, for once again leading us into this fellowship meeting tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, all right. Who's got a prayer request? Hang on, hang on, hang on, hang on. Who is that? Oh my gracious. Lord, we need a special anointing tonight. Thank you, Lord. How y'all doing? Hey, Julie, was your trip okay?
Amen, brother. Everything was great. I had a great trip.
Okay, awesome. That's good. I'm glad to see you over there in Maryland. You made it okay. That's great.
The afternoon, boy, it's like it's already 5 o'clock, and here we are. Time went
Oh.
fast. Time went fast from the time I landed, and haven't stopped since. So.
Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Yeah,
Glad you're
I bet
safe and
that's.
sound, and good trip, and a lot of God's grace. The TSA thought I was some kind of criminal or something. I got special privileges from the Lord. I don't know how often you travel, but they have random people they give TSA pre-approved. So I was one of them, which means I don't have to go through all the big lines
Really?
with the taking off your shoes and all that stuff. It's a much shorter line, and you've already been
Awesome.
pre-approved background, all checked and all that. But then there was at random the when I went through the through the whatever the
Metal detector,
detector
yeah.
detector thing, whatever they look for in there. But the alarm went off, and I'm like, what's going on? He's like, it's just a random screening, so we just have to pull you over for additional screening. And there's like three other people after me that did the same thing, and I'm like, okay. So I had to go through a little additional screening, but other than that, it was fine.
Okay. Hey,
They went.
Bear,
They
you prayed up.
checked my electronics. They wiped them on some took a whatever some kind of paper thing or whatever, and wiped down my phone and my iPad, and they put it in this
Oh.
machine. They're testing for
Bombs.
whatever they're looking for, chemicals or whatever. Make sure I didn't have any bomb on my phone that was turning on
Yeah.
to blow up the plane or something. But
Yeah,
no, it was fine. That
you
was
didn't
just a little
have a
test. That was just a little test.
suitcase bomb in there with
Yeah.
you,
Yeah. Anyhow,
huh?
they do
Okay.
these really weird things they do at the airport, so.
Yeah. Well, I know Barry and Marilyn's all prayed up. Praise God. So it'll be okay.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
We're gonna have a good time.
Awesome. Good.
God
Awesome.
bless
Thank you,
everybody.
Lord.
Good to see y'all.
Yes, good to see you. Okay. Has anybody got a prayer request? I'm just going to pray for y'all. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this time together with Julie and Barry and Marilyn. Father, we just ask that this be a special time for all of them, that they get to renew their friendship. There'd be some great fellowship and prayer time, whatever. Lord, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Protect her on the way home, too, whenever she goes by, in the name of Jesus. All right. Thank you, Father. All right, anybody else? How about a testimony? It's testimony time. Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
So another testimony, it's a prayer request, please. We're busy in the last couple of days over heat wave. In the evenings, it's about 80 degrees Fahrenheit, and during the day, it's around about 100. We've got no rain. We definitely need some rain now. Yes.
Okay. Well, I trade with you. It's cold in the mornings here. Okay, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you that we can pray, and we can pray the rain in where the people in South Africa, where Joe is, needs a rain. We thank you, Father, for doing that in Jesus' name. Rain, come forth in the name of Jesus, right there where Joe is. Thank you, Lord, for raining on them and getting the dust down and getting the grass to growing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. All right. Go ahead, Leonard.
Oh, I was just going to say I feel much better, and we're seeing a lot of changes in our family, and God's coming through, and so thank you, Lord, and thank you all for praying for us.
Amen. Amen, brother. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, we pray for y'all quite often here in the fellowship. Thank you, Jesus. All right, that's good. All right, anybody else? Lord, we thank you for complete healing in Leonard's family, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that every one of those Galchenko kids are here, mom and daddy too, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anybody else? Praise report. Well, y'all just a world of life tonight. Come on, Jesus. Yeah, Andrew. Go ahead, man.
My coughing has been way less than what it was. Way less.
Like, amen.
Two episodes today, and that was it. But
thank you, Lord.
I want it all gone. Thank you,
Lord. Okay. Thank you, Lord. It is all gone in Jesus'
amen.
Name.
Amen.
Praise you, Father. All right, Tim, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, Tasha reminded me that she had a praise report. Tuesday night, towards the end of the outreach, she had a really bad headache. She was in great discomfort. Prayed for her and told her that you know, she needed to repent and that she wasn't under the curse. She accepted that and went to bed and had a good night's sleep and woke up in the morning with by the Lord. So praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. She's going to get a good night's sleep tonight, too, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else?
I think we can thank the Lord that all the witchcraft that was trying to go out today against President Trump was null and void.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayer on that, casting all this evil out. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. We got another. I'm glad you said that because it reminded me there'd been another warning of another assassination attack on Trump. So Lord, we just count that as null and void in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that the ones who perpetrated this, that they would be exposed. And Lord, we thank you that the FBI, the White House, the Patriots, and all of them. We find out what it is, who it is, and how it was done, and who was behind it. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for your protection, complete protection on Donald Trump. And Lord, we just cast down this false impeachment hearings in the name of Jesus. We count them as null and void. We command them to stop this nonsense in the name of Jesus. We command those demons to back off. and give that man some breathing room in Jesus' name. And Lord, we thank you for your endurance that you put in Donald Trump. And I'm kind of like Candace Owens. He just looks better and better every day. He just thrives on this, on fighting. And Lord, we praise you for that. We thank you. You picked the right man. And Father, we thank you for your rewards for him. Like filling him with your Holy Spirit and getting somebody up there that knows the word, that has the truth of the word to give him in Jesus' name. I love that prayer that Pastor Brunson said the other night, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you are fulfilling that prayer that he prayed for President Trump in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? Yeah, Missy.
What's the tapping song?
Yeah. There's Dave beat me to it. There's this noiseless tapping sound. What's that from?
Are you hearing mine do that? That's me. Huh? I'm sitting over these sticks. I'm sitting here. That?
Oh, yeah.
Is that it? I'm sorry. I didn't know I was
yucking. We're going to cast those down too right now.
Okay. I'll put them down. Praise God. I didn't know y'all could hear that. That's a professional microphone. I should have known it. Praise God. Okay. Anybody else?
Let's continue to send the angels out to protect the children, the exposed, the pedophiles, and the people that are gathering these children up to sell them and stealing children and all the missing children that these perpetrators, these criminals, be exposed. Lord, we send your angels out in front of us to break these walls down, this evil that's been going on in this country, all the way through the government, all the chains of government, all the FBI, all the police departments that have anything to do with this. We expose those people, Lord. We want that out in the open. We want these people routed out of our country and out of our land and put in prison where they belong. We want this cleaned up, Father, in the name of Jesus. Send your angels out, Lord. Give the white hats the ability to prosecute the DOJ, get the evil people out of the DOJ that don't belong there, that are hindering your work, Father, and hindering the work of the president and his administration, Father, so we can get this moving forward, so we can start cleaning this government up. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, hallelujah. Now, you're talking about me beating on the table. You was kind of beating on the table there, too.
Yeah, I followed your lead, I guess.
Okay. It's kind of addictive, I'm telling you. All right.
Looks like Marilyn's got her sister there.
Yeah, that's Julie. She got in up there today. Amen. All right, anybody else? George, how are you doing? Hadn't heard from you in a while. George. Oh, my goodness. He's hollering at me. I got to get back.
Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Technology challenge here. It's usually too loud at my house to join in.
Oh, really?
Can be. Got a 9-year-old here that likes to. Yeah. I was just thinking of who is the Trump for the body of Christ? Who's going to shake up and do the things that Trump's done, like he's done in the political world? When are we going to get a Trump that's going to step on toes and shake up some stuff and, you know, just a bull in the china shop type of something? I think God's going to do something like that. I was watching a video today of Torben Sondergaard, and he was coming after these false manifestations and Kundalini type ticks and things that people were coming around him in America. And he just took a stand against it recently and said that they weren't going to put up with it in their meetings. You could come to their meetings, but not lay hands on anybody, not try to minister to people, because he just called it out as a demon and said, we're going to deal with it. And I thought it was refreshing. I'm just saying, there's probably some Trump type personalities that are going to come into the body of Christ and maybe not say all the right things or be, I don't know how to say it, but anyway, just thought came across my mind. I have been listening and enjoying the Shepherd teaching lately. And I guess one thing I thought about the other day was that when he leads us beside still waters, I notice when I look at still waters, I get a reflection of the heavens a lot of times. You get a perfect blue sky reflection sometimes. And I think that when God talks about the waves of doctrine, I look at those as not being still waters. When you get all those, every wave of doctrine that misleads, that those still waters is the truth. And I just got that the other day, thought that that was pretty neat, that he leads us to the truth and how important the truth is. That's all I got. Love y'all.
Amen. Well, that man you're talking about is going to be coming very soon. And that man in the Word of God is called the Man-Child Ministry. And he's coming with the Word of God on his lips and the sword of the Word. And he's going to bring judgment. He's going to bring everything right into the kingdom of God. He's going to empty out the, remember how Jesus emptied out the temple? He's going to do the same thing. Only he's going to do it with my spirit. That's the Man-Child Ministry. Praise the Lord. And I can't wait. Well, I guess I have to, but you know what I mean. Praise God. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be an awesome time. You're going to see, people like Trump, only in the spiritual realm. You're going to see people like Milton Green that preached like he did, that are going to preach the truth, and it's going to not only be the truth, it's going to be the hard truth for a lot of them. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Are you okay, Jenny?
Just doing a little, I guess some warfare going on right now. Just being attacked. Okay. Sometimes.
All right.
Enemy like that we're all together up here.
Okay. All right. Got everything well in hand.
Yeah. God does. Yeah. Amen.
Yes, he did. Okay. All right. Thank you, Lord.
The Lord said your angels there and protect them and cast off any evil that may come against them right now in the name of Jesus. We bind any spirits and any anything might be trying to come against their fellowship and their peace in that house, Lord, is bound and cannot come and bother them anymore.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
I come against all tormenting spirits in the name of Jesus right now. Spirits of condemnation, you go in the name of Jesus. Any kind of spirit that's tormenting any of them, any three of those, in the name of Jesus, you go in Jesus' name. And any spirits that tried to come up there and come in with Julie, I command you to go in Jesus' name. No, thank you, Father. No. Glory, hallelujah.
You don't have any.
You're free, girl.
Yeah, that's just the enemy's attacking with headaches and that kind of stuff. And I'm just... to discern that that's a lot of witchcraft going on. So.
Yep, there is. Mm-hmm. There is. You're exactly right. Okay. All right, anybody else? Let's pray against witchcraft. In the name of Jesus right now. I cast down every curse that's spoken against God's people across this world. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to expose where these came from. Not only that, Lord, we ask and we pray that every curse spoken against any of your chosen or against President Trump goes back on the one that's throwing it out there tenfold in Jesus' name. And Lord, the ones that are praying for assassination or heart attacks or whatever that is against Trump, I command it to go back on them in Jesus' name. Father, you gave us the authority. Now, that's what our prayer is, that this will take out the witches' covens, the enemies of God, the Antichrist spirit. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that it'll teach them a lesson not to mess with your chosen. And Father, we thank you that your angels are being sent out right now, even as we speak, to do exactly that against the enemy. In Jesus' name, against your chosen, against all of your people, Lord, and we thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name. And Lord, place it in everybody's heart to continue praying and believing that this is happening every day throughout this whole season here, all the way up to when you come and get us, Lord. I know they're talking about November 2nd as the last day, but that's not the last day. Last day is when you come. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else?
Can we pray in spirit for a little bit?
Sure. Okay. Well, Lord, I'm just asking you to pray through us for the things that we've missed in Jesus' name, through the Spirit. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. I thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you. Praise your holy name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for sending out your angels, even as we speak to you. Thank you for your warrior angels. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise you, Father. All right. We count it all as done. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go ahead, Wade.
Well, I should have said before we went into prayer, but I had a dream last night, and it was about today. And I haven't thought much about it, but I have to find out what the dream. I think the dream is going to reveal something. But I that maybe it would have to do with my brother coming over and the conference call. So maybe y'all could pray for me that it works out well with my brother and I, because sometimes we clash. You know, I try not to clash, but and he's bringing a phone, so I need that phone. So I ask for prayer.
Okay, well, if he's bringing you a phone, this ain't the time to clash, okay? Amen. All right, well, Lord, we just ask for your anointing upon Wade. Lord, we thank you that you're going to give him grace and mercy with his brother, that it makes it no difference what his brother said, that he's not going to get irritated or angry about anything. And Father, we thank you that he's an overcomer. He knows he's an overcomer. Because he has Christ in him, and he's been crucified with Christ, and he doesn't have to worry about what somebody says about him or to him. And Father, we praise you for that in Jesus' name. We're thanking you that he's going to have a great testimony about his visit with his brother in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You believe that, Wade?
Yes.
All right, brother. I do, too.
Amen. Thank you.
Y'all going to have a good time. Lord, we just pray joy, peace in that household in Jesus' name. Not only that, we command anxiety, anger, any kind of bitterness to go in Jesus' name. You're not allowed in that home in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Praise you. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. I believe it, Wade.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
Jesus. Yes, thank you, Lord. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Okay. Did anybody take a look at that verse in Luke about the thief on the cross? I saw that, Debbie. Oh my goodness. Well, that's okay. That's all right. What did I do with my iPad? That is Luke. It's in Luke. Believe me. Oh, gosh. Luke chapter 23, verse 39 through 43. And one of the malefactors that were hanged railed on him, saying, "Art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us." But the other answered, and rebuking him, said, "Dost thou not even fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise." There's a lot in there. There's a lot in there. Somebody help me out here. What are we seeing here in this little verse, these verses? Yeah, Andrew.
Well, you're seeing two condemned men. And, of course, one of them is very opinionated in 39, and he's probably speaking very much out of his pain. But the other man who had the same pain, you know, this condemned man confessed in his death penalty of pain, spoke in defense of Jesus. You know, when you're going through pain, you don't really think about defending someone else. You know, you want the help, you know. And that's kind of very, to phrase the point, taking up his cross while he was on a cross.
Amen.
And he actually, this unjust person judged Jesus as innocent, as not one that should be a recipient of this penalty. And he asked Jesus to remember him, which I believe is a merciful point that he wants from mercy from Jesus. And Jesus also going through the same pain and suffering of this cross is now on the cross with another cross for this person. You know, like I don't want to say double cross, because that's not what it is, but it's where he's actually giving him mercy when Jesus would need all the mercy, you know, at that point in time with his pain and suffering, because it wasn't going to be actually for a few hours that he was going to suffer after this, from the sixth to the ninth hour, you know. I don't know if Jesus died before the two people who were on the cross, one to the left and one to the right, but it makes me sometimes kind of wonder, you know, if the guy on the right hand was the one who spoke nicely and the guy on the left hand wasn't of Jesus. Yeah.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, they broke the two thieves' legs so that they would go ahead and die. Because when you're like that, they stand up, they try to stand up on their feet as much as they can in order to get their breath. And when they break their legs, they can't stand up anymore, and it takes them out. They didn't have to do that to Jesus because he had already died. So I would suggest to you that Jesus probably died first. I don't know that, but that's what it seems like.
Yeah, that's what it seems like too. Yeah, since you brought that up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Jesus probably did go through much more terrible tortures than those two guys.
Yeah. Yeah, they beat him. Pulled his hair out, pulled his beard out, striped his back, did all kinds of bad stuff to him. He was so weak he couldn't hardly take the cross. He couldn't take the cross. They had to get somebody else to haul the cross up there. Simon, I believe his name was, wasn't it? I don't remember. But anyway. All right, the thief on the cross, and didn't he make a confession of his sins? He made a confession of his sins. So there we go. He's made a confession of his sins. Jesus recognized that, granted him repentance. Guess who was the first one in heaven with Jesus? I don't doubt that he went in the arms of Jesus up there. Yeah, David, go ahead.
He recognized Jesus as being the Messiah.
Yes, he did.
He said he wants to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. So he knew Jesus was. He knew Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was very good about this. He was very truthful too. He was telling them. He's asking Jesus to remember him when he comes into his kingdom. And Jesus was very graceful. He says, I'm telling you, you will be with me in paradise. He was letting them know, well, we're not going kingdom right away. We're going to go to paradise first. And you'll be in paradise with me when I go.
Amen.
And, you know, so, but even that, at that point, he was on his way to the kingdom because he recognized Jesus as the Messiah. Now, when Jesus went down to paradise and he preached the gospel, this man was already on board with the gospel.
Amen. That's another point I was going to bring up. Yeah, he was already up there. That's good. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Tim.
It seems to me that the one that railed on Jesus believed that he was a Messiah as well. You know, says, "Art thou not the Christ?" You know, it sounded like he believes that he is. You know, get us off of here. You got the power. Let's do it. Get us down. And but he didn't confess. You know, his sin and Jesus not sinning, but he believed that he was the Messiah. Sounds like.
Yeah, well, it could have been, but it sounded like to me that he might have been just mocking him.
Sound like a voice of Satan.
Yeah.
Aren't you Messiah? Just like Satan challenging him.
Yeah, and that's why the other thief was told him, you know, rebuking him.
Well, it just,
dost thou not even fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? So, yeah, what I can believe. Go ahead, George. You're going to add to it.
Did I raise my hand? No, I'm just kidding. I was thinking how, and I've heard this from somebody else, but how Jesus started his ministry with two thieves, Matthew the tax collector and Judas, and then he ended his ministry, his earthly ministry, with two thieves. And what it's kind of like nowadays too. I mean, he had a captive audience. It ain't like he threw his arm out and hugged up to that guy and whispered in his ear that he said,
no.
That other thief had to hear him all for life, words of life to that guy. And he's still, you know, when do you start begging? I guess it's kind of like nowadays, you know, you could have a captive audience and offer them life. And what are you going to get, you know?
That's true. You're going to get the same rejection. Yeah. Yeah, Joe.
I was looking at the other verses. I was kind of adding on to what Dave said there and you said. I don't see it in Luke. Is it in one of the others? I think one of the Pharisees was kind of saying pretty much one of the same things as the thief on the cross. You know, bring. I mean, if you are Christ, you know, bring yourself down from here, and we will believe. So, yeah, I could say, I'd have to agree with you. You know, it sounds like he was mocking them, like, you say you're Christ, huh? You know, save yourself. So, yeah, just wanted to kind of throw that there. You know, or it sounds like he was acting just like the Pharisees and the others who didn't believe him. So,
amen. You got to kind of wonder after the Lord told that second thief. That one on his right hand. You got to wonder what went through the other one's mind when he said that, this day you'll be with me in paradise. You know, you got to say, uh-oh, boy, I think I just messed up. You know, I think that's what went through his mind. I hope he was saying that. But, you know, anyway, anybody else got some more on this? Isn't this what God wants us to do? Go to a cross? Hang on the cross? What's interesting is this man here was the first one in heaven after Jesus died. First man in heaven after Jesus died. Isn't that something? I'm going to shake his hand. I said, boy, you hit it right on the button. You just snuck in now. I don't wonder what his name was. Did they ever tell you what his name was?
Well, you know, he's got a good testimony.
Yeah. 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 Last second. Yeah. But he's a type and a shadow. Thank you, Jesus. I just thought that was fun to kind of meditate on that particular scripture. There's probably a whole lot more in there.
Michael?
Yes.
Something that was coming to me is that the two thieves really represent those who are repentant and get saved, and you know, those who right to the very end will still refuse to accept you know, that they need salvation, that they need a savior. And there's always through the Bible, there's, you know, there's the sheep and the goats, there's the wheat and the tares, there's the, you know, the critical and the judgmental and the stubborn rebellion, and there's all of us, so the ones that are just humble, and so, you know, they realize they're sinners, and, you know, it's just representative of who, you know, right there with Jesus, you know. They hear or they don't.
They hear the truth, and yet they scoff at it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, George.
It says right after that that there were that a darkness fell over the land, and I was thinking that if that thief that was promised paradise was still alive, that it wouldn't matter how dark it got, or there wasn't nobody going to rain on his parade.
That's right.
And I think about it too, when we get saved, how, you know, really our life is not our own, and as long as it's going to be, or as short as it's going to be, that the darkness of the world can't take away the light that we've got and the promises that we have and eternal life. You know, to eternal life is to know him, and you know, to know the Father and Jesus. So it's like we got this thing licked no matter how you look at it. And you know, if Christians go through dark times, you know, they can be like that redeemed thief on the cross, and not that other one, not let the darkness touch them, really.
Amen. That centurion, certainly this was a righteous man. Sounds like it changed his attitude toward Christ. Okay, anybody else? Hey, Matt.
Well, it looks like the Gentiles, right? The centurion?
Mm-hmm. Could be.
So they're seeing they're seeing what's happening, and they're picking up on the truth, the Gentile here.
Yeah. All right, anyone else? Okay, Matt, you're just in time, buddy. All right, Shepherd's Look at Psalms 23. Thank you, Lord. Page 58. We're in chapter 5. We didn't quite finish last Tuesday, but we're right where it says, as with sheep, so with Christians. Probably not. You're telling me. Okay. So, as with sheep, so with Christians, some basic principles and parallels apply, which will help us to grasp the way in which a man or woman can be cast. Let me get this up here where I can see it. Okay. there is, first of all, the idea of looking for a soft spot. The sheep that choose the comfortable. The sheep that choose the comfortable, soft, rounded hollows in the ground in which to lie down very often become cast. Y'all remember what cast is? That's falling on the back, not being able to get up. In such a situation, it is so easy to roll over on their backs. In the Christian life, there is great danger in always looking for the easy place, the cozy corner, the comfortable position where there is no hardship, no need for endurance, no demand upon self-discipline. The time when we think we have made it, so to speak, is actually when we are in mortal danger. That's absolutely right. There is such a thing as this discipline of poverty and privation, which can be self-imposed to do us worlds of good. Jesus suggested this to the rich young man who mistakenly assumed he was in a safe position, when in truth, he was on the verge of being cast down. Sometimes, if through self-indulgence, I am unwilling to forfeit or forego the soft life, the easy way, the cozy corner, then the good shepherd may well move me to a pasture where things aren't quite so comfortable, not only for my own good, but also his benefit as well. There is the aspect, too, of a sheep simply having too much wool. And Tim talked about that last week, or Tuesday. Often when the fleece becomes very long and heavily matted with mud, manure, burrs, and other debris, it is much easier for a sheep to become cast, literally weighed down with its own wool. Wool in Scripture depicts the old self-life in the Christian. It is the outward expression of an inner attitude, the assertion of my own desire and hopes and aspirations. It is the area of my life in which and through which I am continually in contact with the world around me. Here is where I find the clinging accumulation of things, of possessions, of worldly ideas beginning to weigh me down, drag me down, hold me down. And it is significant that no high priest was ever allowed to wear wool when he entered the Holy of Holies. This spoke of self, of pride, of personal preference, and God could not tolerate it. Okay, what do y'all see in this? There's a lot there, a lot of parables and parallels for us to consider here. Has anybody got any scriptures related to any of this? Well, I know you do.
Tim? Well, I was going to ask Tim, how matted does their wool really get? Sound like they would be pretty bad looking with mud and all that kind of stuff and burrs.
Yeah.
How was it with your?
It's mainly the length that causes them to raise the center of gravity where it messes them up. You know, their fur or wool will grow, you know, 6-7 inches long, and it's so thick that it's even when they're laying on it, it's still 3 or 4 inches thick. And with this, you know, small diameter body they have, it lifts them up off the ground enough where it, I don't know how to explain. It's kind of like being on an air mattress or something, you know, where it's under or overinflated. And you can't sit still. If you move, you just roll off the edge. That's kind of what their fur is like when it's real long or when they're fat or pregnant.
Amen. Some of the verses that came to my mind is in Matthew chapter 7. Starting out in verse 16, we could get the whole thing, but I'm not going to go through the whole thing. 16, by their fruits you shall know them. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringing forth good fruit, but the corrupt tree bringing forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is thrown down and cast into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you shall know them. And then skipping down to 24. Everyone, therefore, that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. It fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. It didn't go up on its backside. And everyone that hears these words of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, the winds blew and smote upon that house, and it fell, and the great was a fall thereof. That's those people that he's talking about here that are comfortable in their religion, that are comfortable in just putting a little money in the bucket every Sunday and thinking that their ticket points, like David calls it, got their ticket punch, and all they got to do is wait on Jesus there. Instead of running the race, enduring in their faith to the end, they're just sitting there thinking that I'm just waiting on Jesus. Praise God, he's coming in a time now. Glory to God, we're going to get on out of here. We ain't got to go through all this myth. When in fact, that's the ones you're going to see in the FEMA camps. So, and they're the ones that have the dirty wool. They're the ones that can't be, that aren't going to be placed back up on their feet. Some will. Some in the FEMA camps will even come back to Jesus, you know. Oh, man, we messed up. Yeah, Joe.
I'm glad you brought that up because I've actually run into a couple of those lately. I'd like to pray about them personally, you know, if y'all want to agree with me, that, yeah, God's elect would be saved because I keep hearing it, you know. We're getting out of here, you know. I mean, we'll fly away, as David likes to say it. So I guess everybody agree with me. I want to pray for them guys. Or, you know, them guys and ladies, you know, that they would, that the elect would be saved. Father, we just come to you and we pray for all your elect still in bondage in Babylon, you know, with this belief of the pre-trib rapture as we know it. You know, it's, I got nothing to worry about, you know, I'm getting out of here. You know, I won't see any of the tribulation. That's just not true, Lord. You know, I remember David saying many times, you know, it's, if it doesn't motivate you to holiness, then it's more than likely a false doctrine, you know, or it's, if it's pleasing your flesh, you know, if it's making you feel good, you know, in your sin, then it's a false doctrine, you know, it's not your truth. So Father, we pray for protection, you know, your divine protection upon these people. When the judgments really start to fall on this world, and they start to really just, you know, fear greatly, you know, greatly thinking, oh, what's going on here? You know, I'm still here on earth. What do I do, Lord, that you would protect them from themselves most of all? You know, I think I've learned personally, when you're under that major fear, you know, you'll make some very bad decisions. You know, you'll react too hastily, and you know, you'll make some very bad decisions. So Lord, keep these people safe most of all from themselves, you know, and when that fear comes upon them, that Lord, you would keep them from their bad decisions. You know, you would keep them from their foolishness, that, you know, they would think, well, I got to save myself, I got to do something here. So Lord, we thank you for that protection. We thank you for opening their eyes and you know, turning their world upside down is what it's going to take to show them that, you know, they've been in error all these years. So thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I remember what Andy said about the Christian And the true Christians are humble people. They have humility just written all over them, you know. And they don't mind giving. They don't mind praying for folks. They don't mind doing the things that God has asked them to do, whatever it be. You know, God wants, we talked about this many times before, God wants an absolute surrender of everything, even our, you know, our lifestyle, if need be, even our children, even our family, even whatever. If anything in our life is more important than God, then that's an idol. And that's something that God wants you to put on the altar, get rid of it. Yeah, Dave.
I'm just looking through a few passages here with wool in it. And I found it kind of interesting because I see the passage where this guy's talking about not being able to bring wool in to the inner court, and that was Ezekiel 44:17. At least that's one of the passages. But also, you got in Isaiah 1:18. This is interesting, and Revelation. And well, I'll read three different passages of wool referencing the Lord, which is interesting, and us. And it says Isaiah 1:18. It says, "Come now, let us reason together," says the Lord. "Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool." And initially what we're learning here about wool is that it represents the flesh, or something about the flesh that's holding us back in this world. And it's the things that are contrary to what we need in the kingdom. But we're seeing here also a cleansed flesh. We're seeing things that have been purified. And it goes on farther. Not that the flesh is itself, no flesh will enter in the kingdom of heaven, but we're seeing something that's been purified here. In Daniel 7:9, I see, "I saw until thrones were placed, and Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing were white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and his wheels burning fire." And then we got in Revelation 1:14, it's kind of interesting. It says, "His head and his hair were white as white wool, like snow. His eyes were like flame of fire." I'm seeing where the Lord can take this appearance of man also, which references a little bit of wool, the flesh side, and he can make it white and pure as snow. Not that he's taking the flesh and purifying it, but he's taking the image of it, what would have been man, and what we see as man, and maybe association with man, and he's purifying it. He himself is purified and looks as like a man, because we're made in the image of God, but it's pure. So that's just some interesting observations I was thinking about.
Amen. You know, going back to the crucifixion, that's a good parable of the marks of a crucified man. He was very humble, wasn't he? He had deep, deep humility. Christ did. And he humbled himself. If you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was sweating blood because of this great trial that was coming before him. And but he became obedient unto his death, unto his life's death. He was obedient to God unto death. And if I remember correctly, there's a scripture in the New Testament that tells us to be obedient unto death, the death of the old man. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm going to add to what you were just saying there, because it's interesting too here. On Hebrews 9:9, it says, "For when every commandment had been spoken by Moses to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of the calves and the goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkle both the scroll itself and the people. Now we're seeing this scarlet wool, which had been dipped in the blood of the calves with water, and he's sprinkling the people with this. It's just like a sacrifice of Jesus, that now you got this flesh that is bloodied with this blood on it, and it's using to purify things. There, the wool is being used now as a sacrifice.
Amen. Yeah. You know, something else that I was thinking about too, and it just came to my mind again, on the crucifixion. When you're hanging on the cross, you're helpless, aren't you? You're helpless. You can't do nothing. That's when you have to rely on Jesus. And that's why hanging on the cross, going to the bearing your cross is such a could be a great study at some point, you know, because that's a mark of what you call impotence. Also, because you can't do nothing, you have to wait on God to do it for you. Okay, and that's the same way with these sheep on their backs. If I'm not mistaken, they can't do nothing, can they, Tim? Once they're on their back, they have to rely on the good shepherd to put them back on their feet. And that's what we have to do when we go to the cross. We have to rely on the good shepherd to carry us through. When Michael's dead on the cross, Jesus comes alive. God, man, that just makes it all fired up, ready to go. My goodness, want to go out there and preach to thousands. My. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Andrew. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. I got goosebumps all over me.
Glory to God. I guess when someone was a pre-tribber, he was upside down because of that, and he had to be put back on his feet. You know, there's a lot of people that have different doctrines. They have to be put back on their, you know, when you're taught something, when you're just like a little youngster, you know, you're taught things from your denomination and you think they're right. You know, I have a Roman Catholic background, but I was told something was right. This prayer that I had to do from a youngster. And, you know, you would have a person from another denomination might deliver me from that. But how do they don't know that there's something in their own to be delivered of? Because they were taught something, well, maybe they were a little bit bigger. So they're, how do you get one upside down sheep helping another, you know, like, so it's not them. It's not the denominations. It has to be God. And God can use anyone he wants because the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and them that dwell therein. You know, he can, you know.
He can change anybody, can't he, Andrew?
Yeah. And
he can change.
The guy who was in this insane asylum was by two insane guys there.
One of them gave him a Bible and the other one told him to go get it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or to read whatever it was. Yeah. Well, take this for example. We had a man in the Catholic religion over in the Middle East that came against the Christians over there. He killed his own brother because his brother switched from being a Catholic to being a true Christian. And so the Coptics came up to help the Catholics change some more people around back to their religion from the true Christian. Of course, the true Christians knew who Jesus was now. They knew the love of God. They already knew that Jesus resided inside of them, and they wasn't nothing going to change their mind. And what happened? Of course, we prayed for them. Listen, they started with one man, And just in that town alone, not counting out across the countryside, there's 2,350 of them already within sight of a year that they've changed. But anyway, getting back to the story, this guy killed him. He was a fighter, man. He says, I'll tell you what, if you don't do that, and he would email and say that they would go, all the captains was going to get together, and they was going to throw curses on David, and David was going to die. He's going to do a Black Sabbath on him, you know. And David said, you better look out. Anyway, all of that stuff. Anyway, we told them to pray, confusion in their camp. Well, it ended up that they went to fighting each other. And this guy got himself shot in the foot. And one of them guys shot him in the foot, this big bully that killed his brother, killed some other people too, and threatened to kill David, you know. And he got in the hospital, and he was needing some blood. You see where this is going? And one of the true Christians, one that knew him, that he had beat up on, put him in the hospital, came up there and offered to give him some blood. And he said, why are you doing this? He said, why are you doing this? And he told him, Jesus, that's what Jesus taught us to do. And it changed this guy around. And he's now a Paul in the Christian fellowship there. Now, he's still wanting to duke it out with folks, but, you know, he's coming along. He's coming along. He's going to be another Paul, it looks like, because he's on fire for Jesus. That's the power you was talking about, Andrew, to change somebody around. God can do it through prayer. Praise God. This guy had all kinds of stuff hanging off of him. He had demons hanging off of him. He had demons hanging on demons off of him. You know? But God. God can do that. He could clean anybody up. He cleaned me up. If he cleaned me up, he'd clean anybody up. Praise God. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
Getting back to what you were talking about in the shepherd, look at Psalm 23 and what you're reading about. The aspect to the sheep simply having too much wool, and often their fleece becomes very long, heavy, matted with mud, manure, burrs, and other debris, becomes literally weighted down with its own wool. You know, that's the flesh, and it's our works, and it's religious works. The scripture that came to my mind was in Philippians 3, where Paul was talking about all that he counted as dung, as loss, yeah. You know, worthless, you know, of his religious works, who he was outside of Christ and knowing him and his righteousness. And that's in Philippians 3, where it talks about the true circumcision, and we're not to put, you know, any confidence in the flesh. And verse 4, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, also, if any other man thinks he has reasons for confidence in the flesh, I have more. And then he went on about who he was, you know, as, you know, in the flesh. And he counted all his loss for the sake of Christ. And all the religious works, self-works, trying to be somebody in God's kingdom, trying to be somebody in the world, because it went on to say in the next paragraph where it talks about the wool depicts the old self-life in the Christian. It's the outward expression of our inner attitude and the assertion of your own hopes and desires and aspirations. Again, it's like there's so many parallels in the apostate system of men with religion, how it operates in the same way the worldly system does, as far as like having, you know, one man, you know, over everybody, and, you know, their you know, assistant pastors, and they have their board of directors, and they have their president, vice president, all their, and all of their other people, you know, it's all very you know, it's patterned after worldly things. You know, all that stuff has to go by the wayside.
Amen. Yeah, Tim, go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you, Julie.
I was thinking about during this discussion is that I don't think that Mr. Keller mentions this, but when you got your sheep that have been, you know, woolly and laden with manure and sticks and dirt and all that stuff, and you shear them and you cut off all that dirty, nasty wool and you cut them loose and they take off bouncing across the thing and they are just, they look pure white. You know, they're just, they look, lost all that baggage and they take off and they're pure white again. And they, so losing the wool is a purification process for them.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Go ahead, Julie.
Just all that fleshy works in it. You know, it says it becomes, they become burdened down. You know, it's like, it is, it's a lot of work and you get kind of tired and you, it's a burden on you to try to keep up with doing everything and and trying to keep, you know, just do. You're, you know, a doer, you know, busy about doing everything. And it is a burden, you know, your own self works becomes a burden. It doesn't work. And God keeps let you doing it until you just wear out.
And we've also got the cloud of witnesses, and we're supposed to lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us. And there we go. You know, it's like having too much nasty wool. You need to get rid of it.
I was going to try to look up the weight.
Yeah, that 1 John 2:15 is where says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the vainglory of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever and ever and ever and ever. And after all the forever, amen. So, it's good. It's a good one in that. Anybody else?
I was looking over where Julie was mentioning Philippians, where Paul was counting all the to be lost for excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That shows where he was shorn. He had all that wool removed, all his flesh. So he discarded all that so he could have his freedom in Christ. He was naked just to have all that. He took it all off.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. When you surrender all, when you give it all to God, all of that stuff drops off. And like Tim said, you don't have nothing but Jesus in front of you then. All the weight's gone. You don't have nothing but Jesus. Man, you're out there jumping around like that little sheep is. White sheep here. Praise God. You have to thank you, Jesus. I'm so free now. Got all that stuff rid of. Now, glory to God, I ain't got to carry all this weight. I ain't going to be falling on my back no more and having somebody come up and try to get. Lord of God, thank you, Jesus. You know, and that's pretty good parallel to me, it looks like. That's a good one. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else on this particular page? What do you do when you go to the grave? Nothing. You can't do nothing, can you? I'm talking about self. Self can't do nothing. He's in the grave, can't move, can't do nothing. So you die. You're dead. You're in the grave. So if you can't do nothing, it has to be Christ that does it now, isn't it? And that's why he wants us to die. He wants us to go to the grave, get. Pull the dirt on top of you so you don't move. So nothing can happen but Jesus. Man, we're getting all kinds of good stuff out of this stuff, ain't we? Praise God. Y'all are good. Thank you, Jesus. Hi, Tracy. Good to have you with us, girl. Okay. Let's go on with the little study here. If I wish to go on walking with God and not be forever cast down, this is an aspect of my life which he must deal with drastically. Whenever I found that a sheep was being cast because it had too long and heavy a fleece, I soon took swift steps to remedy the situation. In short order, I was sheared clean and so forestalled the danger of having the ewe lose its life. Now, if I remember correctly, Tim, you told me after it's sheared, it never gets caught in a cast with the wool gone, right? Unless it's pregnant.
Pregnant, or sometimes they get fat, you know, if they're eating too good, but it's a lot less likely. Didn't have, you know, really see a pattern there. They just, the clumsy ones just would get caught, but it's usually a long fur situation, long wool.
Yeah, okay. He said, I was sheared clean and so forestalled the danger of having the ewe lose her life. This was not always a pleasant process. Sheep do not really enjoy being sheared. And it represents some hard work for the shepherd, but it must be done. Boy, they must be some powerful shears to get that stuff off of it. Okay. We probably need something like that to cut Joe's beard, wouldn't we? Right, Joe? Okay. Actually, when it is all over, both sheep and owner are relieved. I can imagine. There is no longer the threat of being cast down. While for the sheep, there is the pleasure of being set free from a hot, heavy coat. Often the fleece is clogged with filthy manure, mud, burrs, sticks, and ticks. What a relief to be rid of it all. And similarly, in dealing with their old self-life, there will come a day when the master must take us in hand and apply the keen cutting edge of his word to our life. Hey, I got a question here, Tim. Do those ticks get through that wool to the meat?
You know, I don't think we ever encountered ticks. When the fleas or flies, I mean, we get in on them, I put some pretty good spray on them. And whenever we sheared, I don't recall ever seeing ticks, but if we had dead deer up there, they were full of ticks.
But, oh, really?
Yeah, but it was just, you know, in the not any deeper, but I don't recall ever having to do anything with ticks on our sheep, even when we sheared them. So I don't know. Okay. It must.
Yeah. Okay. And similarly, in dealing with our old self-life, there will come a day when the master must take us in hand and apply the keen cutting edge of his word to our lives. And it may be an unpleasant business for a time. No doubt we'll struggle and kick about it. We might get a few cuts and wounds, but what a relief when it's all over. Oh, the pleasure of being set free from ourselves. What a restoration. When we get free of all of this stuff that we've been pulling around with us all our life, as we get free and you learn to get closer to the Lord and you learn to have that personal relationship with the Lord, and I'm talking about a personal relationship by talking to him and listening to him and listening to him and talking to him, then it's freedom. There is so much freedom. So much freedom so that sometimes it's just, and some of you know, maybe all of you know what I'm talking about. You just feel so light, you know, you feel awesome. It's good. You ain't got that bunch of ticks and all that wool hanging off of you and sticks and all that garbage. delight. God has shared you, and you're just happy, happy, happy. Praise God. The third chief cause of cast sheep is simply that they are too fat. Okay, here we go into fatness. Maybe we need to skip this. No, we better go on. It is a well-known fact that overfat sheep are neither the most healthy nor the most productive. And certainly, it is the fattest that most often are cast. Their weight simply makes it that much harder for them to be agile and nimble on their feet. Of course, once a sheepman even suspects that his sheep are becoming cast for this reason, he'll take long-range steps to correct the problem. He'll put the ewes on a more rigorous ration. They'll get less grain, and the general condition of the flock will be watched very closely. And it's his aim to see that the sheep are strong, sturdy, and energetic, not fat, flabby, and weak. Turning to the Christian life, we are confronted with the same sort of problem. There are men and women who, because they may have done well in business or in their careers or their homes, feel that they are flourishing and have arrived. They may have a sense of well-being and self-assurance, which in itself is dangerous. Often, when we are most sure of ourselves, we are the most prone to fall flat. How many of you know some people that have done well in the world, and they're not interested in going any further with Jesus because they're having a good time in the world with their flesh and feeding their flesh? I've got family members that way. You know. Yeah. Andrew, go ahead.
Isn't Matthew 13 one of the lands there? The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches?
Yeah.
There's another.
Yes, it is. Amen. Often when we are most sure of ourselves, we are the most prone to fall flat. In his warning to the church in Revelation 3 and 17, God points out that though some considered themselves rich and affluent, they were actually in desperate danger. The same point was made by Jesus in his account of the wealthy farmer who intended to build more and bigger barns, but who in fact faced utter ruin. He didn't get to enjoy none of it, did he? Material success is no measure of spiritual health, nor is apparent affluence any criteria of real godliness. And it is well for us that the shepherd of our souls sees through this exterior and takes steps to set things right. He may well impose on us some sort of diet or discipline, which we may find a bit rough and unpalatable at first. But again, we need to reassure ourselves that it is for our own good, because he is fond of us and for his own reputation as the good shepherd. In Hebrews 12, we read how God chooses to discipline those he loves. And at the time, it may prove a rough routine, but the deeper truth is that afterward, it produces a life of repose and tranquility, free from the fret and frustration of being cast down like a helpless sheep. The roughness it takes to face life and the formidable reverses which it brings to us can come only through the discipline of endurance and hardship. In his mercy and love, our master makes this a part of our program. It is part of the price of belonging to him. And we may rest assured that he will never expect us or ask us to face more than we can stand, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. But what he does expose to us will strengthen and fortify our faith and confidence in his control. If he is the good shepherd, we can rest assured that he knows what he's doing. This in and of itself should be sufficient to continue to refresh and restore my soul. I know of nothing which so quiets and enlivens my own spiritual life as the knowledge that God knows what he's doing with me. Amen. Anybody got anything on that?
I think you're seeing where when God's working in your life, whatever he's doing is that we have to find that place where we're going to be in the rest and trust what's happening. So, for the Christian, that's the discipline we're trying to have, the discipline of knowing whatever's coming at us, it's through the Lord's will, and he's in control, and we just have to be patient and willing to go through what he's having us go through, whether it's good or bad. He's the shepherd. Now, somebody in the world, they don't have that. They think they just have to work harder or overcome on their own. And they're out to, build their kingdom the best way they can. And if it gets it's devastating to them, they're thinking, well, I just have to pick up the pieces and go on and try to get better. Where we're at a point where we're thinking, okay, where's the Lord taking me on this? And where do I need to have the right attitude that, or so I can be pulled through this with what the Lord's trying to show me, and so I can you're trying to draw no close to the Lord all the time, and get his thoughts, get his understanding, his reasonings in your life, and that's where our whole idea, our whole perception is when we're walking through life, is we're trying to stay in tune with the Lord and walk with him through it, whereas the worldly people are always trying to do their own kind of walk and build up their own little trail and make sure it's all their ducks in a row for their plan, what success is in life. Our success is how are we going to stay in tune with the Lord wherever we're at in life so that we're in his will.
Amen. Yeah, Tim, go ahead, brother.
Kind of along the same lines of what Dave was talking about as in Luke 9, where the certain man came to him and said, I'll follow thee wheresoever thou goest. He had the self-confidence that, yeah, I can do this and I'll be saved and I'll just, yeah, I can do whatever it takes. And then the Lord tells him, that the birds of heaven or the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. It doesn't say what happened to that disciple wannabe, but we can assume, or I guess infer, that he didn't continue on because his self-confidence wasn't going to get in there. He wasn't willing to give it all to the Lord. And so that self-confidence, thinking that you know enough or you're good enough by yourself to get in there, it is a real downfall.
Amen. Yeah, I believe that's one of the I think one of the biggest problems in the church today is our intellect, trying to reason away, justify ourselves, because the preacher said this, the preacher said that, so it's got to be true. And I can go ahead on sin because I'm once saved, always saved, da-da-da-da-da. When in fact, you need to put that intellect in the grave and cover it up. And go on and start reading the Word of God and find out for yourself. That's something we need, that really hit me here just in the last little bit is everything needs to go to the grave. I had a vision or a dream, I can't remember which, many years ago, about this young man. And they was on the cliff. Him and Jesus was on the cliff. And there was this long string of eyes coming around, and Jesus was booting them off, eye, had to go. out of this young man. And he, anyway, you understand what that is. That's self. Self has to go over the cliff. Yeah, babe.
Yeah, I was listening because Julie mentioned it, and I thought I'd go through it real quick. I was listening to that Take No Prisoners, and David brought that up about this is what happens with denominations is in pastors, and not necessarily Brayman, all of them, but he's pointing out a problem here, and with many Christians, is when they receive the word, there it is. They have the opportunity to fall in line, be obedient, let it do its work, like we're talking here, and let the shepherd do his work with the word when it comes in and start to do that shearing process, or they find a reason why it can become explain it away, reason it away, think that this doesn't apply with what they are about and what they're doing, so that it washes away the word. It completely washes it away for what it was going to tend to do. And the process has been annulled, it's void. They do that with traditions, they do that with everything else that they do in their, and they look to the pastor as the example. And if he's a very charismatic but fleshly person, they're going to be very comfortable with that. They're not going to be drawn to the word where it's going to actually do the process of cleaning you up, making you holy. They're going to find a reason why they can still stay in flesh and still be considered Christians. So that's the danger of that lasciviousness that's out there, especially if you don't allow the word of God to do its work in your life. When it's coming in and Jesus is actually talking, he's actually working in you, but you find a reason why it doesn't have to apply. You get to wash that word away, and then you're reprobate. You're becoming reprobate. That's the dangers of what we have today. And I'm not saying all churches, but that's a danger that's in the churches.
Amen. And that's why it's very important that we pray for these people, you know. Pray for them and that God would bring light to their eyes before they die, you know. A lot of these people going into these FEMA camps and such, and it will open up their eyes. Well, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be zapped out of here if all this stuff happened. But they're going to come to the realization that preacher lied to them, and they're going to run around and try to find them a word of God and get in, find out where they missed it, you know. Or there's going to be somebody there to tell them. And then they'll come to Christ, maybe martyred, I don't know, you know, whatever it's got. God's got for him, you know.
Or we get that little voice in our head that says, has God really said?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Go ahead, Missy.
I think it was last night. I took a look at YouTube, and I was on YouTube. I'm not sure exactly what else. I was watching this one title of this one song by a country singer caught my eye, because it's called Jesus Got a Tight Grip, and I listened to it and I just was like sat there and I just groaned, and it's just to me, it's sending that message, you know, no matter how I live my life, Jesus got a tight grip on me. I mean, there was a little bit of a connotation, you know, kind of like, well, you know, he's not done with me kind of thing, but it was so kind of flippant. I don't know how to describe it. And I was just like, oh, Lord. I don't know if he actually wrote the song, but he was singing it, you know. I was just, Lord, I just pray that you, if he really thinks this way, Lord, you just change him and you grant him repentance, Lord.
You want to sing a little of it for us?
Me sing it? No, I don't even remember how it goes. No way.
Okay. But y'all Jesus can look on up. The main line, tell him what you want. Some of you remember that.
It was horrible. I just wanted to groan. I didn't.
Yeah. Well, we just pray for them. You know, they're lost.
What is that song? Trust and obey. There is no other way.
To be happy in Jesus.
You know, that getting on some of these praise and worship things, Shane and Chain to me is one of the best because they use the Word of God a lot, and they use the Psalms, and it's got a new volume out called Volume 2 of the hymns. And if you know anything about the old hymns, most of them are pretty scriptural. Most of them are real scriptural. And they take these songs. They don't do away with the what do you call that? the tune of it. But they put a lot of other stuff in there to where even, you know, young people like myself will like it, you know. And that's what are you laughing about? That's how they do it, and I love the way they do that stuff. They've got a brand new studio, and they work this stuff out. It's really awesome. I like those old hymns the way they do them. The way we sing them in church. I didn't care much for that, you know. The way they sang those, standing on the promises of Christ my King, you know, and that kind of stuff. But boy, they put the beat to it. You know, they same tune, but they got that stuff going in the background where you can kind of move with it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Getting the spirit with it. But that's why I like them, because they do all scriptural songs, generally speaking.
You mean they kind of get you out of your pew?
Yes, sir. They do. They do. They get me out. They get my toe tapping.
You mean they're not being all proper?
Mm-mm, no, I ain't gonna be proper. Ain't nothing proper about me yet. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Barbara says, "Yeah, I love Shane and Shay." He glorifies God. He does. Both of them, Shane, boy. Shane, I don't remember, Barnsworth or something like that. But anyway, anybody got anything else? I don't feel like starting that other chapter just now. We'll wait till next Tuesday to start it. I can do that. You know that? Yeah, Missy, go ahead.
There's, I think it's 7 songs. It's called Worship Circle Hymns. Those are really good, too, if you want to look them up on YouTube. Worship Circle Hymns.
Oh, okay. Do they redo them?
Yeah, one's Great Is Thy Faithfulness. Jesus Paid It All. Come Thou Fount, which is Merle's favorite hymn. Although the one he knows, they altered it and took out flaming tongues of fire or something like that it says in there. Anyway.
That made it to Saint Baptist tradition.
Yeah. Jesus, I Love Thee. Trying to remember what all of them are. They're good.
But I'll look them up. Worship Circle Hymn.
Yeah. Amen.
Denny, how you doing? Okay. Well, you look like you kicked back. I didn't want you to interrupt you. Yeah, I did too. Okay, anybody else? Let's do something. Y'all ready to do something? We're going to do what we did the other night again. I believe we all need it. Y'all got your prayers up there in front of you? Huh? Said, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm born again, kept by the power of God. I'm redeemed by the blood. I'm born again by the word of God. I'm complete in Jesus. My sins are nailed to the cross. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, seated in the heavenly places right now at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm more than a conqueror. I take dominion. I rule and reign. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is my heavenly Father and Jesus is my Lord. I'm a product of His love. I have love. I have joy. I have peace. I have long suffering. I have goodness. I have gentleness. I have meekness and I have temperance and I have faith. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right now I'm strengthened in all the power and the might of the Lord. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm given authority over all the works of darkness with the word and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I now receive the word and the blood. And I remove in Jesus' name all the works of heaviness and oppression from me in this fellowship. I remove every work of doubt and unbelief in Jesus' name. I remove all works of tradition, legalism, and every work of oppression against this body in Jesus' name. I rule and reign in the name of Jesus. I remove all word curses, all works of darkness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. My weapons are mighty in God to the tearing down of strongholds, casting down all imagination and every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I now bring every thought captive to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm a new creation. As Jesus Christ is in the world, so am I. Now from the throne of grace, I receive grace, love, joy, blessing, healings, deliverance. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I now speak peace. Praise be to God. I now bring every thought captive to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every thought captive that's against the will of God, I bring it captive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Oh man, we lost some. Okay. Anybody got anything they'd like to relate, comment on? Hey, Barry and Julie and Marilyn. I am longing for the time when this whole group can get together like you three are doing right now. I'm longing for that time when we can all of us get together. And it's going to come a time we'll be able to. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. Yeah, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Barbara, how are you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I am blessed beyond my wildest dreams, girl. There ain't nothing going to get me off of that blessed rock, I'm telling you. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. I'm blessed with bold faith. I'm blessed with Jesus inside of me. I'm blessed with the Holy Spirit throughout my whole being. I'm blessed that I speak the word, and the word goes forth and produces fruit in Jesus' name. Glory be to God. Yep, I'm blessed.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Somebody else talk. I'm tired of talking.
Well, I was just going to say that's one of the things that I go back to David. He says that's one of the things that's going to help us overcome in this world is we're going to speak the word. We're not going to counteract it. We're going to agree with it, and it's going to be going forth, and that's what's going to be our sword and conquer the things of this world. And those that fail, those that fall back and run to the beast for their protection, are the ones that speak against the word. They don't have the word in them. They're not confident in the word, so they're going to fall away. But the ones that aren't going to fall away are going to be using the word, and they're not going to depart from it. They're not going to allow this world to take away their mind and their being in Christ while they're here. They're going to speak the word, and they're not going to depart from it. That's how important it is that our tongue is in agreement and our mind is in agreement with the word. Because what comes out of our mind and out of our tongue is going to determine our success and our path and our victory in this world. The darker it gets, that's where we have to keep our mind and our tongue in alignment with that word in order for us to cut through this darkness. Joe, you're going to say something. What were you going to say?
Well, I was trying to say something, but I guess I will. No, go ahead. No.
Go ahead, Jeff. No, I was just going to crack a joke. No, I was saying, I mean, if we all do meet up north here around December, January time, Michael, it's really nice out. So, we can, Lord willing, we can meet up this way. Keep it in prayer, brother.
Romans chapter 6, verse 11. I ain't listening. La, 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 la. Oh, my. Even so, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus. Here's the kicker right here. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey the lust thereof. Then skipping down to 14. Here's another good one y'all to just put around your neck. Or I should, anyway. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. But for sin shall not have dominion over you. Amen.
So how can somebody be a sinner saved by grace? If you're not under the law, how are you under sin? You're by grace. You're walking by grace. You're no longer under sin. Sin doesn't have dominion over you. You're not under the law.
Yeah, they don't understand that they are born from the first Adam, and they have to get rid of that first Adam and allow that second Adam to come alive in them and bear the fruit in order to make it. They don't understand that. They don't understand any of that because they haven't been taught it. And, y'all remember when you were there? Well, I do. I remember when I was there. I never did believe in once saved, always saved, because I'd already read. And that you can't ever be holy. You can't ever be sanctified, because I had read some of those scriptures, like, be ye perfect, even as my Father in heaven is perfect. That's the one I always saw. I said, well, wait a minute. What does that mean? He's giving us a command right there. Well, you just can't do it, brother. You just can't do that. So, God wouldn't give me that command unless I could. Well, tell me, God's lying to me. Yeah, missy.
You probably heard me say this before, but I was talking once to a group of the young people in this assembly that Merle then and this is back when Alex was, I guess, early high school or something anyway. And I mentioned that verse, and the person that was leading at the time, he says, that's a high standard. I said, yeah, it is, but it's God that does it in you. And, you know, when you think about it, too, another, this just popped into my head, you know, as a counter of what you were saying. They said, you can't be perfect, you know, and some people, you know, say, well, that's, yeah, when I go to be with God, you know, when I'm in heaven, I'll be perfect. Well, yeah, you will be, but, okay, he's saying all these other things in chapter 5. That's for here and now, same as that is for here and now. You know, in this life, it's not for in the by and by, you know.
Yeah, they think they're going up to heaven to go to ball games and play tennis and go swimming and all that kind of stuff, you know. But if or sit up on a cloud up there with a harp and sing songs to Jesus, I don't know what they're thinking. But, anyway, well. We're about out of time here. Has anybody got any prayer requests before we? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Sorry, it's not a prayer request. I was just thinking, for intersection, when you were reading earlier on that book, that often the fleece's clock will filthy manure, mud, burrs, ticks, and ticks. I was thinking about that filthy manure could represent your self-life, mud, the world. Ticks could be demons. It's interesting the way you think about it.
Yeah, yeah, it could be. Absolutely. Then ticks will weigh you down. You know, or demons can weigh you down real good. Amen, brother. Okay.
Well, we'll pick up. Cheers. I guess some cheers I'll lend out to everybody.
Okay. We'll be on chapter 6, right, Joe? Joe DeBrazio. Okay, buddy. We'll be on chapter 6 next Tuesday. David, you going to be going Saturday night?
I'll be here.
Okay, bud. All right.
If anybody has anything they want to talk about, we'll do it then too. And we'll have an open forum.
Amen.
Good fellowship.
Okay. Well, let's hey, George, would you set us free with some prayers from an old Georgia boy?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Father, I thank you that you are pleased with us, that you're not mad at us, but that it is your joy, great joy, to give us the kingdom. And that you have plans for us that we don't know, but you're revealing them to us as we can handle it, and that we are stepping out in faith, trusting you, knowing that we're in good hands and that we have a good Father. And Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus that speaks of a better covenant, and we walk in that covenant, we live in it. And Jesus in us is getting everything accomplished that you want to see done. You're not nervous, and we are not nervous, but we are asking you for everything because we want our joy to be full, and we want your joy to be full in this earth, Father. So, Father, just continue to bless us with joy and imagination and faith. And let us not miss out on one single promise that you have for us. Father, you are awesome, and you've included us in your plans, and we just thank you for life and that more abundantly in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, we thank you that Barry and Marilyn and Julie are going to have nothing but joy, laughter, and a lot of good times during this time together. And Father, we thank you for it. Let it be a productive fellowship for these three in Jesus. Well, actually five in Jesus and with Casey and his wife. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. God bless y'all.
Amen.
Amen. We'll see y'all. next week.